Take out your swords. Father, I have your word and I know it's true.
Father, I have your word and I know it's true.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I have everything it says I have. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today's title is Bondage or Freedom. It's your choice. Subtitle is under the heading of culture. Last month we dealt with the prophetic word of God is shaking all of us. He's shaking His church, He's shaking the nations, He's shaking everybody. And I proceeded to give you a biblical understanding of how this is going to come about. I also gave you the historical aspect of what is happening within this nation. And it's really something to understand that I don't have an axe to grind with anybody except Satan. And what is happening today is we have to begin to start thinking like spiritual men and women. And I revealed to you that the spirits or the two spirits that are very active right now in our lives, in our nation, is the spirit of the Antichrist and the Leviathan spirit. And I also began to elaborate how these two spirits are working together to squeeze the life of Jesus Christ out of you. Amen? We have to understand that there are dark forces that do not want the kingdom of light to be manifested. And part of their way of doing things is to get us focused on ourselves. Our little pity parties, our little problems, our little things that don't seem to go right. I'm not happy about this. I don't have this. Or whatever it is that focuses your attention from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to you is sin. Okay, Ed. We as believers must understand that we are in a war. It may not be a shooting war, but you look around yourself and you can see the effects of this war and its reality. It is happening in the heavenlies and manifested in this physical realm. How can I say that? Well, just look at the murder rate. Just look at the abortion rate. Just look at how families are being split in two. How children are being abused. How people in the name of God are destroying other people. And these dark forces are running rampant right now. Why? Because the church has first refused to wake up. Second, to shake off the bondages that we ourselves are putting upon ourselves. We actually willingly slip on these bondages and think that we're okay. And God is trying to shake this stuff off of us and begin to refocus our attention that our main mission as a church, locally and worldwide, is to win souls. Guess I didn't get an amen for that one. Okay. And what is really evident is whether you understand that you are free or you're in bondage. You determine this. Jesus Christ came, died, rose again, and has set you free from everything. Everything. Not just from sin. He set you free from sickness, disease, ignorance, slothfulness. And He wants to equip you to make you warriors of love. But we're too busy thinking about what we don't have and what we lack. Peter says it this way, once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you were not, had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That mercy means that our sins are forgiven. There is nothing that you can do that will separate you from the love of God, except being unrepentant. Once we repent, His blood cleanses us. John says, faithful is He, who that if we confess our sins to Him, He is just and righteous to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You are clean by the word that's being spoken to you. But you have not understood that you are a free people. Jesus has freed you. And the reason why I say you don't realize it is because you don't understand what freedom is. And that's the linchpin as to what Satan is doing to the Church of Jesus Christ. He has the church doing social activities and social programs to make them feel good about themselves. But how many souls are being won into the kingdom? Because we are the people of God, and because we see what this Antichrist spirit is doing to bring us into slavery, into further bondage, I can only speak for myself, I resist it because it is repugnant to my spirit. I resist trying to be brought under some sort of bondage. The only bondage that I am willing to submit myself to is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We must understand that our freedom is not just a spiritual one, it is a physical one. It is an emotional one. The Bible tells us clearly that we need to sanctify ourselves wholly in spirit, in soul, and in body. God wants to use your life. But you're resisting the wrong individual. You resist what God wants to do in your life and through your life to continue to live selfish and self-centered. Amen? I'm there. If you knew what my week was made of, you would say, yeah, you're there. I don't want to be where you're at. In Luke 4:18-19, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recover the sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That is the Isaiah 61 anointing that you have also. If you lay claim to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that is your anointing. What are you going to do with it? Remember last week I stated to you, you can love God, you can love people, and you can love life, but if you're not exercising this anointing, what are you doing? Let me give you a prophetic vision that God has shared with me. The army of God is being formulated right now. Okay? And what is happening in the body of Christ is we're rah-rahing each other. Yeah, let's go do this. Yeah, let's go happen to do this. But do you understand that God always has a remnant that is not part of the masses? He is formulating and training His remnant. And this remnant has all the anointing of the ages upon Him, plus the anointing of the Ancient of Days upon them. They are more powerful than all their predecessors. And they're just waiting for God to speak to them to go and do the things that He's told them to do. Where the rest of the body is running around there, they're going in there saying, oh, we're attacking the demons. Isn't this great? We're casting them out. We're doing all this stuff. And then the demons go, boo. And we run. We turn tail and we run. And we're like, oh, wasn't that exciting? What didn't we do great things for God? Didn't we? Which army are you in? Are you in the remnant? Or are you in the group that is running into battle, proclaiming a whole lot, but doing very little. You see, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. How many of us love God? Are we doing what he's told us to do? That's the question. Because he measures the amount of love that you say you have for him by your obedience to what he says you need to do. That's the remnant. Not doing all your other stuff. He doesn't want us to come there in the day of judgment and say, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out demons in your name? Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? And what was his response? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That word of iniquity means lawlessness. It means lawlessness, in a biblical definition, means we do our own thing. Whether it's good or indifferent, we're doing our own thing. We're not doing what the Master has said to do. And my prayer for us is that we stop trying to be something that he hasn't told us to be. We stop trying to do the things that he hasn't told us to do, and let us refocus our attention on the work at hand. We are not to be focused on what is happening in the world. We are to be aware of what is happening in the world. But we aren't relegated to the events and tendencies of the world. The issue that I want to express today is, are you still in bondage or are you living in freedom? And I find it really interesting how God has moved through intercession this morning, through worship this morning, and now we're getting the third part of this liberty in such a way that he is expressing to us that we need to finally determine if we're going to live in bondage or we're going to really cast that off and live as free men and women. John 8:31-36 says, and to the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him and said, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Future. There is a lot of education that has to be done, a re-education of our minds that has to be done. Just because we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior doesn't mean we are free. Freedom only comes when he is Lord. Thank you. Is he Lord? That is the question. Because that determines whether you're free. Religion would teach us that in order to do good things and say good things and be good, that we win favor with God. God bestows that upon us. Even yet while we were sinners, he bestowed that upon us. His favor is for us. So again, the question I want to ask is, are you free? All of us have been born into the slavery of sin. The demons then use that bondage to corrupt our minds, to keep focus on ourselves. What I want, what my me, my mind, and everything that's beneficial to me. We then use our bodies, because we're influenced, to further the corruption. We do things that is dishonoring to God. Because our flesh wants to be gratified. Romans tells us to mortify the flesh and its desires. That means put it to death once and for all. But this demonic influence is not just satisfied in keeping us in its bondage and in its hold. It now takes those who are being influenced by the Antichrist spirit to lord over us, to keep us in subjection to what the Spirit wants. And remember I said it is a graduation that the children of Israel came into bondage. They weren't born into slavery. They weren't taken as slaves through a war. It was a graduation. One day they woke up and they found out they had no freedom. They were slaves. I want you to wake up and find that you are set free. No matter what this world does. No matter if they take our possessions. No matter if we lose our jobs. It doesn't matter. What matters is Revelation 12:11 your reality. What does it say, Holly? Do you understand that is the battle cry of the remnant? They overcame the enemy. But we're under it. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. His sacrifice. What He has done. He has made us righteous. We are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have a standing that cannot be removed, but Satan wants to knock us off that pedestal that God has elevated us to. We are now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but we're still acting and behaving like we're fallen people. What is your testimony? What has Jesus done for you? Who are you telling? How are you living for Jesus Christ? That's your testimony. And I know there's a graduation of parting from the ways of the world to living in the kingdom of God. I don't want you to feel condemned. I want to exhort you that there is so much more. Dylan is on fire. There is a zeal for God. And that just sets my heart ablaze. Instead of getting caught up in the worries of this world, what is happening, the Word of God is not finding the place of residence within us, and so we don't know the truth. When we read it, we don't believe it. He said, to him who believes, all things are possible. What is freedom? Freedom is the state of being at liberty. It is the liberty to be free from any physical restraint or confinement. It is the power to determine one's direction in life by their choices and decisions. Freedom is having the right of self-determination. Remember, I said to all of you guys, your life is the sum total of your decisions. I pray that you make good decisions based on God's Word so that you can prosper. We may be in difficult situations. That's our doing. And I tell new believers, God has to untangle your life before He can start putting it together. But a lot of us are just saying, no, Dad, no, no. I like the mess that I've created. No, no, I don't need your help. Okay, fine. Pastor, you don't understand. Okay, I don't understand. How's it working for you? You see, if you want to wallow in your bondage, you have the right. You have that freedom to do that. I want something greater. I want the fullness of His anointing to flow through me, to touch people's lives in spirit and in truth. Liberty is the freedom from despotic government rule, bondage, captivity, external controls, or enslavement. Jesus said, all of us who have sinned are slaves to sin. But He has paid the penalty to set us free. You have the choice that if you want to continue in your sin, you can. If you want to walk in the liberty that God has given to you, you can. But I'll tell you what, walking with God for 30 years, I would rather walk in the liberty that I have and understand and learn and grow in the grace of Jesus Christ and be effective for Him so that I can hopefully hear Him say, Well done, my good and faithful servant. The longer I walk with Jesus Christ, the more I see what Paul has said. You know, I'm the wicked of all men. There's nothing good that dwells in this flesh. That just means that God is digging up the garbage that is in my life, and I don't like it. I don't know anybody that has a wound and somebody starts poking their fingers into it. You like it? I don't like it. And this last week has been hellish for me. But God. Abuse of liberty will result in lawlessness, and we see this very thing is manifesting. People are saying, I know my rights. I know what I want to do. I want this or that. You have no rights in Jesus Christ. You just have the right to obey Him or not. That's all you have. If He's Lord of your life should be changing. If your life is not changing, even a blind man can see what's going on. Amen? Abuse of liberty is demanding an exercise of our rights without taking responsibility for the consequences. Hear that again. Abuse is the liberty that is demanding an exercise of their rights without taking responsibility of the consequences. In other words, what is happening today is people are rising up demanding their rights. But they don't want to be held accountable, and they don't want the responsibility of what they're doing. I even think that they're not even smart enough. They're like sheep being drawn along to focus on this assumption that their rights have been violated. For those of us in Jesus Christ, we see the wrongs, but we're still bent on doing the Lord's will. Win the loss. How can we win the loss? Come up with plans and schemes and strategies in which to win the loss. To invite them to come. To let them know that God loves them eternally. You see, you have been set free to allow the love of God that is in you to come out. It is your selfish lifestyles and selfish love that is causing the restraints of this love that God has. And remember I talked about our love and His love? His love is unconditional. It wants to go out and just touch people's lives. Matthew 24:12 says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. What do we see today? We see people who say they love God, but there's no zeal. That's why Dylan just warms my heart. He wants to come under and have the fullness of God. He loves God, and he's hungering and thirsting. He's read the Bible. I mean, do you understand how awesome that is for a 14-year-old kid? For an adult! It's awesome. But what we see today is because there is such lawlessness in the church, there is no zeal for the things of God. When I was born again, man, I wanted to be everywhere that the Spirit of God was at. I wanted the teachings. I wanted the corrections. I wanted to be trained. I wanted those things. And now, when those opportunities are expressed, if I can make it, I'll make it. Do you not understand that is the spirit of the Leviathan who wants to squeeze the life of Jesus Christ out so that you don't fulfill the call that He has in your life? You weren't born to sit in a chair. You were born to go and save somebody else. Freedom. Two ways freedom is lost. And how people become slaves. And I'm just talking about a physical reality now. I'm not talking about spiritual. One way is they become enslaved through war. the wrong place, the wrong time, in the wrong country, and the armies are destroyed, and all the populace now become slaves of the victors. And they are bought and sold like cattle, irregardless of to what kind of ownership or position that they had previous to this war. And we see that going on even today. But, you know, the enemy wants us to focus on the wrongs of what has happened instead of focusing on what Jesus Christ has done for us. He loves us so much that he wants us to trust him to open up our hearts to love other people, irregardless. And I struggle. I struggle loving you guys. For real, I'm honest. It's only God's grace that allows me to really love you guys. The second way that they lost their freedom was, and I found this very interesting, that during the Roman Empire, in the 2nd century AD, what had happened was, their empire was so vast, and the wealthy amongst them had so much property, that the Caesars at that time said, you know what, we can't have you guys be more powerful than us. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to divide up all the property, and you wealthy barons and senators and all that stuff, you're going to have control, and we're going to call you lords. You're going to have authority over this. And you can do what you want with it, but you have to pay taxes to the central government. In the meantime, all the wealthy had these slaves. And so what the Caesars did was said, you know what, we're going to change that too. We're going to make them tenant farmers. Now, they're going to have to swear allegiance to the lords, and in return, the lords give them protection, freedom to work the property. In return, they ask for 50% of the harvest. Sounds like a good deal, right? But they weren't allowed to marry without permission. They weren't allowed to have children without permission. They weren't allowed to travel unless they got permission and paid an additional tax for the permit to allow them to travel. We know this type of freedom is called serfdom. They regulated the lives of normal people to give them the illusion that they were free, but actually what was being perpetrated was they were slaves thinking that they had freedom because, after all, we could keep 50% of the harvest. But were they free? No. When you're confined to live a life by the restrictions of the government, you're not free. We see that in communist China today. If you have a child, more than two children, they will take that child from you and murder that child and throw the woman and the man in prison and put the two children into an orphanage. Am I right, Sam? That's what they do there. That's freedom. That is a communist society that is trying to implement some sort of democratic policies. And I just call democratic policies just another form of socialism to enslave the people. My son told me one day, he says, Dad, you're not really free. And I said, how's that, Gar? He says, just stop paying your taxes and see what happens. See, we have this illusion that we're free. We're only as free as the government allows us to be. We're only as free as the Antichrist spirit says that for us as Christians, the rights that we have, and the right that we do have that he can't stop, is loving people. If we love God, we love people. They can't stop that. They could try to re-educate us and put us in the camps and stuff like that. And they will. I hate to disappoint you that in America they have camps waiting for us. It will test whether you are sold out for Jesus Christ or not. This year, or what, this past week was the 70th anniversary of the opening of the doors of Auschwitz and the horrendous conditions that these people lived in, were forced to live under. When Antichrist comes to power, that'll be a walk in the park. You see, we have forgotten our first love. We have forgotten, we have sworn allegiance to Jesus Christ. When we gave our lives to Jesus, He received us as we are. And we confessed Him as Lord. Romans 10:10. Believe in the heart, make confession with the mouth. Whether you understood you swore allegiance to Him or not is immaterial. You did. But He has been so gracious and merciful to our ignorance that we continue on as if nothing's changed. We still live the lifestyles that we live in contrary to what the Scriptures have told us to live, and our unwillingness and our resistance to conform to the kingdom's requirements, because we would rather conform to the world's dictates than to the kingdom. We are not of this world. We live in this world, but we are kingdom people. We are supernatural people. There is nothing impossible for you. Nothing. Except what's between your ears. If you don't believe that God has paid the price for you, and He loves you eternally, and He loves you no matter what you bring to the table, I don't know what to tell you. You're in bondage. Because that's the truth. Christ died for us, yet while we were sinners. He was on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And we don't. We still don't. Just some of us have been able to get a glimpse of what the future is going to look like. Good and bad. But you have that freedom to determine your life. And the decisions that you make are critical to whether you stay in the kingdom after your life or not. You see, I preach this sermon. All roads lead to Christ, leads to heaven. The question is, are you going to stay there? Because all of us are going to stand there. The whole world is going to stand there at judgment day. Are you sheep or are you a goat? You determine that today. The lack of zeal concerns me for the people of God. There are oases of local churches that the zeal of God is all-consuming and people are on fire for God and all. But He wants this worldwide. He wants us to be infected by His Spirit. Not just ruled and led by it. He wants us to be totally infected by it. You see, I didn't talk about the third point of Revelation 12:11. But I am now. By His blood, and by the word of the testimony. And they did not care about their lives, even unto death. Are you willing to die for what you believe? Are you willing that when somebody puts a gun to your head and tells you to renounce Jesus Christ, you're going to say, no way, dude. Or worse, they take your child and they murder your child to renounce your faith. See, we know the kids go to heaven. We know that. If you're rock solid in your belief system, nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. And if it means that I have to give up my life, physical life, for the cause of Jesus Christ, I am willing to do that. I can't speak for you. I can only speak for me. You can't buy me. You can't sell me. I've been bought with a price that is so expensive that there is nothing in this world that can draw me away from my Lord and Savior. Jeremiah 29 verse 9 says, "But I say, I will not make mention of him or speak any more in his name. His word is in my heart like a fire, a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. I cannot any longer." In other words, there is a fire that is in you, wanting to come out and burn everything that is going up. And one day, you're going to explode because you can't contain it. That's what the zeal of God is all about. I don't care what people think. I don't care what people say. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. I'm going to do what Jesus Christ told me to do. And I'm going to love people in spite of myself.
Yes.
And I struggle. But it's God's grace that brings me through. We must continually remind ourselves that we are kingdom people. Not kingdom people of darkness, kingdom people of the light. Isaiah 65 said, "They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant vineyards and others eat of it. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will live long and enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain. They will bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed of the Lord, and they and their descendants with them." God promises us that He will visit the sins of the fathers to the third generation. He also promises that He will bless us to 1,000 generations if we follow Him. You're in a win-win situation. If you mess up, repent. He doesn't remember it. He cleans you up and He says, "Okay, go ahead. Do what I've showed you to do." Don't let the enemy steal your testimony. There are people running around looking for what you already have and don't know it. Only liberty can be experienced if you know its origin. Liberty comes from God and God alone, not by man or his governments. Liberty is grace bestowed upon the saints by the Most High. Not only do we have freedom, we have His grace. And remember I said His grace is what empowers us to do what He has called us to do over and above what we think. Liberty is the freedom to do what is right and take responsibility for it no matter what. People want freedom, but they don't want responsibility. Don't hold me accountable, Pastor. I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to live my life. I told you what Ezekiel said. I have the responsibility to tell you that you're traveling down the road of destruction. If you don't listen, that's on you. If I don't warn you, it's on me. And guess what? I got enough on me that, guess what? I'm going to disperse this real quick. I don't want it on me. You don't want to listen to God? That's on you. But I'm going to give you the Word of God. And this world doesn't want to hear about God. They're waiting for the demonstration of love through the sons and daughters of God. This world is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. And they shall know us by the love we have one for another. That we are His disciples. A disciple is one who is disciplined who implements the teachings of Jesus Christ into his life, and no matter what the circumstances or situations are, we are not going to move. We are just going to move forward as God says. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you were not, did not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy." You need to take that scripture and put it in front of you and look at it every day. Meditate upon that. Get it into your spirit, because that's what God says about you. You're not some afterthought. You are not some off afterbirth of something. He purposed you for greater things than you could ever ask or imagine. Isn't that what it said on the screen? Eye is not seen and ear is not heard the things that God has prepared for them who love him and are called according to his purposes. I can honestly tell you, I never wanted to be a pastor. Never. But God. His zeal is in my bones. Well, Pastor, you're mad about it. No, I am zealous for God. And I make no apologies for my love for Jesus Christ. I make no apologies that I could care less about the infantileness that Satan wants to keep us in. Just think about what you're destined to do. After all this is done, you are destined to judge the nations. You are destined to judge angels. You are destined to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. This is your destiny. You need to rise up and take it. He's made it for you, but you need to start finding that courage down deep in your spirit to come and take it. Because liberty isn't something that is bestowed upon you. Liberty is fought for and kept. That's what this nation was founded on. And we have forgotten that. For some way, some shape, some form, what we have done is we've retreated behind the walls of our buildings, thinking that we will be safe. The Jews thought they were safe during World War II. And Hitler found them, and killed them, and cooked them, and experimented on them. He did it to the gypsies. He did it to the church. Are you not aware of that history? He systematically was eliminating any opposition to his pagan beliefs. He believed in an Aryan race that was controlled by pagan gods, and there was nothing on this planet that was going to stop him. But God. Are you free? Are you still in bondage? You see, I understand. I understand succinctly. You don't understand. You don't understand what he's paid for you to have the freedom to love people unconditionally. To live in a nation that is slowly turning its back on God. A people that is created and encouraged to live in anarchy. You see, the final thing that is happening is this. The Antichrist spirit is just an influential spirit. He wants chaos. He wants anarchy. He wants people to rise up in their ignorance and stuff. He wants men against women, blacks against whites. He wants all this stuff. He wants us to be envious of those who make money, who sacrifice to give us jobs, but yet we want to tax them into oblivion. He wants this because his purpose is to bring his guy to the forefront. And he is Antichrist. Antichrist. One who looks like Christ. He looks like Christ. He is not Christ. And he wants to rule with a fist of iron over the people of God. And if he can't rule them, he will destroy them. The Bible says that Satan gave power over to the Antichrist to make war against the saints to try to overcome them. That's why we resist. Our God is greater than any false god, any idol, anything that wants to perpetrate itself above the name of Jesus Christ. The question is, and for the last time, are you free? Are you in bondage? Because it's your choice. Jesus did everything he's going to do. It's now our turn. Let us be a free people, even if they kill us. And that day is coming. If you think that it is not, read your Bible. Amen. Father, I just thank you for this word. I thank you, God, that you have set us free. You have given us true liberty. And all that liberty comes from you, God. I ask that your people be mindful, God, and make declaration that they will live as a free people, resistive to what the Antichrist spirit and the Leviathan spirit is trying to do to them, God. That, Father, we would go into your fields and we would win the lost. We would bring them in, Father, and make them disciples. Let them understand that you love them eternally, God. That you want them to be part of your kingdom. But they have to make that choice, God. Just like we have to make the choice if we're going to live free or in bondage. God, bless your people as we go forward today. May your words burn in their hearts, God, and they really see and reflect and come to a position and a determination for you. I ask that your love would just pour through them, God, to love people and to bring them to you, God. There are so many that are hurting out there, so many that are broken, so many that think they're okay, when the truth of it is, God, they don't know any better. So, Father, bless their comings and goings. Thank you for their attentiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.